Let me read from Romans 15 some verses. Romans 15 from verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Let us stand up and pray. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your grace and faithfulness. We are aware of that we were not looking for you, but you were looking for us. Not we have loved you, you have loved us first. You pardoned us. And before the foundation of the world, you have chosen us. We thank you for it. It is not our merit that we have open and anointed eyes. You have opened unto us the understanding for the Scripture. You revealed your word unto us and made known unto us your will. Praise be to your name, now and forever. Faithful Lord, may from this ministry, in this last time, a dedicated and sanctified people come forth unto you, a blood-bought multitude, sealed with the Holy Spirit, who are counted worthy to escape all things which shall come upon the earth to stand before you, the Holy God. Hallelujah. We ask you, beloved Lord, forgive all guilt, take away all sin, all unbelief, all transgression, all shortcomings, all lovelessness. Lord, forgive everything. Let us stand today unreprovable in your sight. We glorify the power of your blood. We glorify the power of your word. We glorify the power of your spirit. And we thank you for your mighty presence. Be now with us. Give grace to speak and grace to hear. To you, the Almighty God, we say thanks in the precious and holy name of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise and honor, glory and worship.
Preis und Ehre, Ruhm und Anbetung. Du bist würdig, o Herr. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Today, we have a child dedication. We have to give you a missionary report. I don't know what we shall do first. Maybe we make the child dedication at the end to not have an interruption here. I would like, firstly, to extend the heartfelt greetings from the brethren from Australia and New Zealand and the USA. It was one of the most extensive and longest journeys which I made in the last 6 years. There was much joy, a deep joy. Old friendship was renewed, new brothers and sisters I could meet, a large number I haven't seen before, and tears were shed here and there of joy, of gratitude by those who understood what God is doing now. I think Brother Werner Sieg expressed it to all of us. The Alpha and Omega in this time is therein to have found grace in the sight of God, to know His ways, His plan, His intention, and then having part in it. In the last city, in Mackay, in the north of Australia, there a brother was greeting me while coming in. And you know, the English language is totally uncomplicated. And he used the saying, "Welcome, God's man of the hour." And I thought, this seems a bit exaggerated to me. This means in German, "Welcome, God's man of the hour." And I waved aside. This was a bit too high for me. But this thought then still followed me. And I thought by myself, we are God's people of the hour. Sometimes we wave aside, and yet on the deep inside of our hearts, we know that we found grace in the sight of God. And in that moment, when one is received like that, the blessing of God flows like a river. No criticism, not being biased, but just reception as it is written in the Word of God. And the Lord said, "He who hears you, hears me, and he who receives you, receives me." As I said, we could experience precious hours in many cities in Australia. The time difference of 14 hours, they are 14 hours ahead of us. It gives you, of course, some problems. The night goes into the day, and the day in the night. And then the flight to the USA. Just imagine, Australia, 14 hours ahead. Then the west of the USA, 8 hours behind us. And this then has to be dealt with in a few days. Last night, the sleep was over at around 1 o'clock. The flight to New York could not compensate everything. And yet, I'm grateful to God, who daily gives new strength, who helps, who gives His word. You cannot imagine how many questions the people had on their hearts. And the Lord helped to answer them. And then came a very old sister. She wept bitterly. Her whole body was shaking. And she said, literally, "Brother Frank, you are the only one who is left who has passed on the word of God in purity to us. Not a bouquet for me, but I would like to appear before God one day with this testimony, to have preached the word of God in truthfulness, in purity, as all my predecessors, the prophets and apostles, have done it. I cannot engage in interpretations and special revelations. For me, it must be written clearly in the Holy Scripture. And I have said this many times. If the brothers are coming and say one must be able to read between the lines, I have a hard time to read the lines, let alone between the lines. This I leave to all the others. We have received a precious divine message, and we have been brought back to the Word of God. And we abide in it until we come from believing unto seeing. Now, the development of the last days, you witnessed it here, especially in Switzerland. Politically seen, one speaks of world powers, and they just have to play the role which God assigned to them according to His plan of salvation and according to His word. We will, despite of all what is happening, we will have to look on that what matters. And this is Rome. We must never take our eyes off there. Everything else will submit and fall into place. According to Revelation 17, the world church, as the great whore, is riding on the beast with the 7 heads and the 10 horns. And there the USA and the Soviet Union is not included at all. It is simply about the old Roman Empire as it comes forth now. And the other powers, in their connection, they only have a subordinate role to play. What touches us, however, are the signs of the time. We notice how everything is advanced, and we don't think last to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 1 to 4. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And Brother Branham said, the world is in birth pains. And he said, the first labor pain came with World War I, and they got more intensive with World War II. And the end is still pending. It's very close. We are grateful that we can live at the end of days. But I repeat myself here, and I want to emphasize that right today in the Vatican, a 14-day long balance starts in what the Second Vatican Council brought forth as a success. Whoever follows up these things and spends time with it, he must see and find out how far the development has already advanced. 1968 in Uppsala, 15 representatives from Rome were there. Today, 86 representatives of the Protestants take part in Rome. The tide has turned, and the people don't notice who takes over the power and who has it in the hands. But we are grateful to God that we can distinguish, that we can place, and we also see that coming towards us, or we see it in preparation, what Brother Branham was told already in 1933, watch Russia, watch Russia, the King of the North. We know Russia will have to play an enormous role in a threefold way it is carried out. The US president, whether this one or another one, he will overdo the challenge, and then it will be fulfilled what Brother Branham said. I saw America totally destroyed, lying in ruins. Before my departure in New York, I watched it on TV, as I could not sleep. At home, I don't have a TV. Normally, I don't watch. But politically, one has to be informed in these days, as also religiously. I watched all of the interview with Gorbachev. The man meant it sincerely, as it is possible in politics. And he said to the US president, listen, the earth is not ours. It belongs to all peoples and nations. And I watched it in Russian and English. And he said, who gives us the guarantee when you make your tests in space that not something falls down on us? He adjured him to not do it, and he wanted to scrap 50% of his arsenal under supervision. And the US president rejects and wants to continue on his way, so that it might be fulfilled what God has spoken through the mouth of his servant and prophet. How did Brother Branham say, O America, America, if you would have known the hour of thy gracious visitation, but now it is too late. Beloved, we are sorrowful in our soul, but one thing is certain, what the mouth of the Lord has spoken, this will be fulfilled. Every word of God. And we know Russia has another task, actually two, namely to destroy Rome. And then comes Armageddon, as the King of the North, with all the multitudes who surround Israel. And then also this large empire will find its end. Firstly, they will make an end there, and then here, and at the end, they will find their own end. As it is described in the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 38, very clearly, from A to Z, all of you, You have heard it and watched it. Geneva has become a world city. Calvin, exactly 450 years ago, he preached the word there. Lenin, in Geneva, in the library of the university, he was reading, hovering over the books. Some things made history in that city. Servet was burned there at the stake, who taught the oneness of God and who used a term that is rarely heard. He called the thought of a Trinity a monster. One God cannot have three heads. And just because he proclaimed the truth, he had to give his life. There were also in the days of Reformation people who had a deeper insight into the plan of salvation, into the biblical truths. There was a Schwenkfeld who came to Luther with a biblical baptism. There were men who already penetrated, but we live in the days in which everything was restored, in the time where not only individuals, but all the people of God is brought back to the original apostolic proclamation as it was at the beginning. And to this we hold on. This is our faith conviction that the Lord at the end will have a church as it was at the beginning, returned to the first love, to the same proclamation and the same power which was manifested at the beginning. Restoration, or the message about it, cannot only be that it is only preached. Faith cometh by hearing and must be followed by reality. And this we believe, that the message has forerun the actual matter. When the hour of God comes, then it will be manifested that we believed what the Lord has promised to us in these days and for these days. Let us hold fast to it, that by grace we may be the people of God of this last time, with the message of God for this hour. And we believe that the Lord will not abandon us, but that he will be with us. Let us read some scriptures. We start with Luke 21, because everything is so timely. One sees the development. There an earthquake, 25,000 people are buried alive. Hear this, hear that. Just now, on the flight from New York, I was reading, since the end of World War II, 152 wars took place, with more than 20 million dead. And we didn't see it here, we didn't witness it, we hardly know something. We hear of Vietnam, we hear of Cambodia and here and there, and don't know what else is happening. The earthquake will soon be forgotten. The 25,000 didn't perish here, they perished far away. And yet, God's word is being fulfilled in every way. Unrest, perilous times, earthquakes, famines, whatever the scripture and the mouth of the Lord foretold, it is being fulfilled before our eyes. Luke 21 should apply very much when looking on these things from verse 9. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. All this we see happening around us, but our main thing is therein to come to know, to understand what God promised us and in what kind of way He brings His work with the church or the bride from the nations to the completion. And we believe that the last message which God gave through Brother Branham and which was put upon the lampstand is the last call, the calling out from everything what is not in conformity with God and God's word, and to newly establish this conformity with God and His word, and thus a divine harmony, and all who are of God, they will give up the inner resistance, and they will say, this is it for what we were waiting for. How often one hears the testimonies of the individuals who, like probably you, testified already, when we were in that church, we felt that something is missing. We were not at home there. We were not a firm part of what was going on there. And then, step by step, it went forward until we received that what God promised us for this time. Sooner, the hunger of our soul could not be satisfied at all. It were blessings, precious blessings, which we received. It were sermons which helped us to serve the Lord, to follow Him. But then, when the food, the revealed word, came to us freshly from the throne, it was like heavenly music. Our hearts opened. It was ordained for you and for me. It is our inheritance. It is that what God intended for us. And how grateful we should be for this grace. Has God not led us through many denominations, through churches, until we have heard what was determined for us by Him? And then our hearts became happy. The tears rolled down, and we understood that we found grace with God. Our understanding for the Scripture was open to us, and we could promptly accept what He has promised to us for this time. Everything else we register marginally. We realize it and we recognize how far things advanced. And look how the Holy Spirit could take a Paul and could transfer him in the Spirit to the end of the end time. Our Lord gave the signs of the end time with wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, and this and that. And Paul looks by the Spirit to the end of the end time and says, or writes, when they shall say, peace and safety. What is it about today? Peace, peace, peace. The whole world calls for peace. Peace demonstrations, peace marches, peace awards. Everything is about peace. And the people don't know that the peace with God starts in the heart through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only then, when He who is our peace takes over the rulership, then there will be peace on earth. Then the lamb and the lion will feed together, and neither will harm the other. In Luke 21, from verse 22, we read, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Every time when I read in the New Testament the saying, things which are written, then a special deep gratitude comes into me. God has already in the Old Testament, by the mouth of His servants and prophets, He made known all of the plan of salvation and the course of events. He let it be written down. In the New, it was illuminated and again written down, so that we have a double testimony and cannot go astray. It says that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Believe me, not one word will be unfulfilled. The scripture cannot be broken. Every word will be fulfilled. It continues verse 23, maybe straight verse 24 or end of 23. And wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The time for the nations, the time for the Gentiles is running out, and the time for Israel begins. The Jews had to go through much trouble. And just now, I sat next to a Jew on the flight from Kansas City to New York, and I heard in the first sentence which he spoke that he was a Jew, and I said it to him. I said shalom to him, and he greatly rejoiced. We spoke about God's word. We had a Bible class, and the people around us became attentive. And he said to me, dear Mr. Frank, we don't believe that the Messiah is God, but that he, like David, will be a special king. I said, dear Mr., now you read here from the Old Testament. And we went through the Holy Scripture. And he asked, was all this said of the Messiah? I said, of course. And this in your prophets. But until today, the veil is still upon their eyes and upon their hearts. We feel with them, for they cannot yet believe as long as the church is not yet in its fullness. But when the hour comes, it will take place. Then I let him read from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 13, and they will look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall weep and mourn. And I said, this will happen soon. And so I could also give testimony there. Now we read in Luke 21 from verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Everybody seems to have fear about this bit of life. A person whose life belongs to God has no fear of death. We, by the grace of God, we crossed from death into life. Jesus, our Lord, said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." These are wonderful truths, which we not only read in the Holy Scripture, but which we experienced. It is a finished, a completed work of redemption of God in our life. It continues here, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Yes, this will all take place. Also this we realize. But our focus is on one thing, on the completion, on the preparation to walk forward in lockstep with the Lord, in the great expectation that the still outstanding things which God promised will shortly find their fulfillment and come to pass. Then it says here in verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. If we hear all these things, when we read, when we see, then we can also read the handwriting on the wall. Then we can place the signs of the time. And Brother Branham, in his sermon, "The Uniting Time and Sign," he has pointed to all these things which now must take place and which are being fulfilled before our eyes. Here in Luke 21, I still want to read the well-known verses 34 to 36. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye receive strength to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. The same Lord and God who spoke to us, who called us out, who has forgiven our trespasses, who pardoned us, who opened our hearts, who anointed our eyes, the same God will take care that his started work in us will be completed. I don't put my trust in myself, but I put it in my Lord, to to whom is given all power in heaven and on earth. He has already shown through his servants, especially through John, he has shown the blood-bought multitude before the throne of God, dressed in white. She is already there in the eyes of God, although we still wait for it now to be changed and raptured. Yet with God, before the foundation of the world, everything was completed already. The last one who should be called out is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain before the foundation of the world. No coincidence, but realization of the divine plan of salvation with them who let themselves be placed into this plan, and to them we may belong by his grace. The evidence for it is always therein that one recognizes at the determined time what God is presently doing. Every man can look back and say, this God has done then and then. That doesn't help. We must recognize the time in which we live. May it become great to us, the word of God for this hour, to recognize the last messenger whom God has sent to give the last message before the door closes. The result must be the calling out of the bride church. She must then be adorned and prepared, not in her own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. You all know, if one travels, one hears time and again what kind of doctrines the people have. For instance, the Lord has come already. The marriage supper takes place already. And if one then reads the Holy Scripture and finds the promises therein that the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain, we shall then be changed. People interpret it this way and that way. But amidst, there is the blood-bought multitude. Amidst are the elect who will keep their balance in the word and in the divine message until the end, who do not deviate to the left or to the right, but who remain in the midst of the way and follow the Lord. As I said many times, the return of the Lord will not be a doctrine, not an interpretation, not a knowledge. It will be the greatest event in the plan of salvation since the first coming of Christ. Two will be on one bed. One will be taken, the other one is left behind. Two will grind at the mill. One be taken, one is left behind. I don't know how there can be people who override all the scriptures and in their pious fantasy fooling the people, which does not exist in reality at all. And I don't comprehend how people who pretend to believe the word of God can fall prey to such things. I have my doubts there, whether such people made truly their experience with God, and out of this experience with God, have their connection to the Word by the Spirit of God. Every person who truly had an experience with God receives through the Holy Spirit the connection to the Word of God. And we know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word remains forever. And this Word we received, the Word remains in us, and we remain in the Word. And thus God has His way with His people. But so that the Scripture might be fulfilled, as Peter has prophesied, he writes, "As among the people of Israel false prophets arose, so also among you false teachers will arise." Also therein, the Holy Scripture must be fulfilled. Also what Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that a time will come where people turn away from the truth and turn to fables, having itching ears. There are people who have the urge to be something. And by grace, we may belong to them who want to let God everything be, who takes over the direction in our lives, and that we come from truth to truth, from knowledge to knowledge, not after the reasoning, not after the intellect, but by divine revelation being led into it. Believe me, as to John on the Isle of Patmos, the things were shown by the Spirit, and he was taken up in the Spirit. So to us, the same things can only be revealed to us by the same Spirit. Also, Brother Branham, by himself, he didn't know anything. It was revealed to him by the Spirit of God. And into this revealed truths of the Word, we were led by the revelation of the Spirit. And therefore, to every individual, it became a personal experience. It became a certainty of faith. You don't believe because Paul or John or Brother Branham or Brother Frank or somebody else believes. You believe because God revealed himself to you. You believe because the divine truths were revealed to you by the Spirit. This is the mystery, what matters today, a personal relationship with the living God. This reminds me on the statement of the Jew who sat next to me in the plane to New York. He said literally, "I don't believe in any personal God." That hit me very hard. That a Jew says this, if some Pharisee or an uncircumcised heathen says it, then at least one can answer, "Lord, forgive him. He doesn't know what he says." And this Jew tells me, "I don't believe that there is a personal God." And then it came over me. Then I gave him my testimony of my personal experience with a personal God. And he looks at me and he said, "Is this really true?" I said, "Yes, it's true. I was there when it happened." How wonderful that we have a personal Lord, not an unpersonal, a somewhere in a distance whom one cannot imagine. No, in Jesus Christ, God personally appeared to mankind. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. We don't believe in an unpersonal God, but in a personal God, in a personal connection with Him, in a personal experience of salvation, in a personal fellowship with Him, through the Word and Spirit, under the coverage of the blood. In such moments, it becomes in particular great to us what God has done on us. And we are not judging somebody else, but we feel in our hearts a deep pain, and we wished that all would come into this personal fellowship with God, that God could become a personal God to them. This gave me the opportunity to say even more than to just give my testimony. Now, in this scripture, we have heard that all this must take place. It will take place. Some things we will still witness. Other things will happen when we are already in glory. But God watches over His Word. Everything will happen at the right time, at the right place, in the right way, as God announced it. On this we can rely on. We most certainly wait mainly for that what concerns us, the preparation and completion of the Bride of the Lamb. And I can only express my hope that it could be very soon, but I will not dare to fix a time. No man is able to fix the time. This God did Himself, and He alone will let the right thing happen at the right time. We are satisfied with that. What He said to Daniel at the time, seal the book and the words until the end time, and then many will search in it, and knowledge will increase. We live in this end time. We see everything. And believe me, I don't exaggerate. The best informed people are those who have heard and believed this message of God in these days. There is nobody, and this we don't say arrogantly, but with a grateful heart, there is nobody who could be better informed than those who, through the ministry which God has set through Brother Branham, were informed. That we see now the scriptures, the promises, in fact, all of Bible prophecy, and that we can place it. You should read sometimes other things to then see the difference, how the people miss the mark, and they think that they are wise, and even think they have to pass on this wisdom. We want divine wisdom, divine teaching, revelation of Jesus Christ, revelation of the Word, revelation of the Spirit, revelation of the power of God. We want that the Lord comes to His right in our life, and that He can bring His work to the completion, that we come from believing unto seeing. May the Almighty God bless us all and make us grateful that we could have a praise and worship service today. That what Brother Werner Sieg touched upon at the beginning, that it also could take place here, not on command, not because somebody says it, but out of a grateful heart that it could break forth. Let us worship our God who has done great things on us. What remained hidden to billions, God revealed to us. What the righteous and prophets desired to see and were longing for, this we have seen and heard. We are a privileged people. We received the grace of God to hear His prophet whom He sent. And beyond that, we have the grace to place Him and His ministry and the divine message biblically. And we have heard what the Spirit has to say to the churches. And therein is the blessing with whom God blessed us by His grace. Not a pious imagination, not something greatly prepared for us, invented by people, but the clear proclamation of the true Word of God over which the Lord watches to fulfill it at the right time. Everything put in view by people will burst like a soap bubble, and the disappointment will be great. But he who puts his trust in the Lord will not be put to shame, will not be disappointed. And as the prophet says, if the prophecy tarries, wait for it will surely come to pass. Hallelujah! What a word of certainty, of faith, and of power. If it tarries, wait for it will surely come to pass. Every word of God will become true the moment comes, and the return of the Lord will take place with that what is written in the scripture. The dead will rise first, and we shall be changed, and together we will be taken up. I say it once again, this will not be a doctrine, this will not be an enthusiasm, this will be reality which you and I will experience personally. And therein we put our hope. And I believe that we, by grace, will be part of it, because we believe the promises which are necessary for it. And faith draws with it what is contained in the promise. And therefore, we have already now, by the faith, the down payment, the certainty to have part in the matter itself, when it will take place. Are you not happy about it? Today we should become grateful to our God. We are the people of God of this hour, of this time. We received the man of God and the message of God for this hour and time. We are ordained to experience that what God promised to His people in this time. And God will let us experience it by His grace. For He is faithful, and what He promised, this He keeps for sure. Blessed and praised be His holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord together. Let me ask whether somebody is here who has some kind of need, whether it's of spiritual or of natural kind, whether it may be bodily or in the soul. Whatever it is, whether salvation, whether healing, whether deliverance, whatever it might be, the Lord is nigh to us. We felt Him under the proclamation of His holy word. He didn't make empty promises, but has given full promises, which are given to them who believe them. Now we want to believe, and whoever feels urged can raise his hand, whether requests or petitions for others, while we sing, "Only believe, only believe, receive it for yourself by faith, and thank the Lord for it." Faithful Lord, low and humble, but with a grateful heart, we have come before your throne of grace, under the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb. We have tread upon this new living way, which was consecrated through the veil by the sacrifice of Calvary. O God, and so we dare to speak with you. You have become a personal God to us. Hallelujah. You have brought us into a personal fellowship with you. You have made us sons and daughters of God. Thanks be to you. Honor, glory, and worship be to your name. And now you speak very personally through your word and through your spirit to us. Our hearts burn, and your word becomes newly alive to us. It becomes a revelation in your presence. Oh, we thank you for it. Faithful Lord, we are like those who dream, but we don't dream. We woke up, for the call goes forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Lord, we are your people of this time, of this hour, where you once more have spoken, and once more you will work. Send the time of refreshing before your presence, faithful Lord. Let the latter rain come with might upon the sowed seed, and may it bring forth after its own kind divine life in us, sanctified and consecrated in your presence. Lord, I still thank you for the last journey for all our brothers and sisters in the dispersion. Dear Lord, bless them, keep them, comfort them, and be thou with them. Faithful Lord, we have been newly strengthened in the faith, physically a bit worn down, in the spirit newly revived. Oh, how faithful art thou, Almighty God! You have appeared to Brother Branham personally, and you spoke with him from the pillar of fire. You have commissioned and sent him, and he who is sent from God speaketh the words of God, and those chosen of God hear the word of God, and the Spirit transfigures it to them. Hallelujah! Thank you that we may walk forward in this divine lineage from clarity to clarity and from truth to truth, from power to power. Hallelujah! Already now we thank you for the completion. We thank you that you will soon return and that the dead will rise. Hallelujah! Into immortality, into incorruption, faithful Lord. And also we shall be changed, and together we will meet you in the air. This will be reality. Hallelujah! Oh, we thank you for it. Lord, prepare thy people. Bring us back to the first love, to the first works, so that we don't have to bow our heads, but that we can look into one another's eyes, and also looking up to you. Lord, may you bless all who are probably here for the first time, or are not fully acquainted with that what you have done. Help them, take them by their hand. And we still have one sincere request, as we read it in Romans 15. May from this last ministry come forth unto you a sanctified and consecrated multitude. Lord, may we all stand behind it with all our prayers, so that your victory can be manifested. The full victory of Calvary over sin, over death, over the devil, over hell. Oh Lord, we praise you and we worship you. Take us into a new dimension, over into a new phase. Glorify thy name and confirm thy word. Lord Almighty God, we thank you together for everything. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. And all the people say, Hallelujah. And all the people said, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to our God from eternity to eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.